Hello and welcome to the 15th ever Plebs on Footy podcast. I'm your host, Rory O'Kane. As always, I'm joined by Scott Fotheringham.
My God, I watch a lot of footy this week.
Yep, no need to play the how qualified are you to talk about footy this week.
That was a ridiculous segment.
You are overly qualified.
I've also thought
some would say you should get a life, but you know, we'll leave that alone.
Oh, mate, it's unbelievable.
Staying home from a mate's 22nd to watch the footy. Questionable decision making.
Yeah, ended up watching a fair bit of the rugby as well. His game died a little bit early.
Unfortunately, as usually, we are not joined by our producer.
Yeah, he comes back for 1 week.
He's pissed off again. He lifts the mood and then decides to abandon ship.
Let's not speak really loudly so he can hear us.
Yeah. No sleep for Liam.
What a job.
But anyway, let's get into it. Pretty interesting round of footy for only six games.
Yeah, well, you know, there's that thought of we're hitting the bye rounds or who cares now. This was a quite enjoyable weekend.
Yeah.
I think next weekend will be a bit of a struggle. There's not much next week.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it because I'll have just finished exams and...
You'll be doing what I did this weekend.
I'll be watching way too much footy, which I probably did this weekend anyway, given I've got exams. But yeah, we'll be vastly enjoying terrible football. Well, let's get into it. Kick off with everyone's second favourite segment.
Yeah, well, yeah, this week, Gold Jacket, Green Jacket. It wouldn't make a lot of sense doing a 3-2-1 with the
We had some logistical discussions about this. We've decided to go, just give the three votes and that's it.
Yeah, well, you wanted to give two and that made no sense.
Yeah, so that was what the discussion was, Scott.
Yes.
Don't tell everybody how the sausage is made. Don't make me look like an idiot.
I'm also very happy.
I do that well enough myself.
I'm very happy about the fact that I don't have to give an extra vote because it would have been Melbourne.
Yes.
So the votes have to go to.
Surely you'd rather not talk about Melbourne though, Scotty. Pretty rough.
Oh yeah, that's true. Actually, it wasn't fantastic. But look, Brisbane West Coast. Gold jacket, green jacket.
Just a nothing game. West Coast didn't show up and won by 50 points.
Mate, I'm caught. We have to call for Leppers head now.
Yeah.
I was actually angry.
This is one of your best calls because you were really down on him to start the year. And you've looked pretty good with that call.
Thanks, mate. You never want to
take too much pleasure from someone else's pain, even though we do it to each other regularly.
No. What happened with this week watching them? It felt so much like watching Melbourne under Mark Neill. It was just
that's not a good comparison.
No. Like, obviously there are games where when we were so bad, like the players deserve to get hung. But there are times when you'd bring the effort and they just have no hope. Like there's no direction.
Brisbane
no
smashed them in contested possessions, clearances,
completely outworked them,
and just had nothing going forward. Like. People have talked about how the fantasy numbers show what's wrong with Brisbane, like because the top five or something were all Brisbane players, and they're talking about it as though it's the players' fault. They just had no structure to move the ball forward, no game plan, and to be honest, kind of like what I felt about Richmond last week.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. That's another explanation of how I felt watching the game. It was just. Directionless, just nothing. And like West Coast, they just went through the motions. Like it was just an easy day for them. And that's enough because like every time that they look forward, like they'd have players moving into space, they all knew where they were moving. And even if you do it at a half-assed sort of way.
Which they did.
Yeah. And then with just a little bit of class, you'll hit a target, you'll move forward, and then you'll get an easy goal. And Brisbane had to just work their ass off and just had no idea what they were doing.
Brisbane have as many defensive issues as they do offensive. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it's true.
The amount of easy goals you can get out the back, which, like, there are quite a few teams that have been killed that way. Collingwood have, Melbourne have at times.
Yeah.
But Brisbane, by far the biggest culprits, they'll do all the hard work but overcommit and then just get exposed. And West Coast are perfectly built to do that to you.
Yeah. They're not terrible in the contest, Brisbane. They're not. And I've said before they have a midfield with some big players who, it's, on their day, they're quite a
it's
decent
It's at least an
team.
Average midfield.
Oh, I honestly, this could be one of those things where you sack Lepich next year.
They're pretty Port Adelaide or Western Bulldogs like revival.
I mean, not necessarily that extreme, but they have a pretty solid midfield. They have no key forwards, we know that. Hipwood looked good for the first 2 minutes and didn't see him.
Shaqy always shows a flash each game.
Yeah, he's very strong.
I got to say, though, Everyone talked up his goal kicking. Hasn't brought it to the big time. No. Maybe Richo's right with his longer sticks comment. Longer posts.
Whatever.
Optical illusions.
Yeah, no. No.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Seriously, get him out now. Hopeless, Leppich. Hopeless.
To be honest, I think there's more problems than just the coach with Brisbane, though. They're underfunded.
That's true.
There's a significant gap in their football department spending. Same with Gold Coast. Gold Coast had the same issues off the field as Brisbane.
Yeah. There also appears to be some sort of a disconnect happening, I think. Like, well, we heard a lot of rumours around, like, you know, players wanting to leave. There were all the rumours that, like, people didn't like Rockcliffe as captain and just lots of stuff flying around like that. And we've had that for the last few years.
Yeah.
I reckon there are some cultural issues.
The thing is, it... Oh, absolutely. And that's been since Crazy Vossie came in. The go home five or whatever they were called were under Voss, and Leppich was brought in to sort of rebuild that culture as much as anything.
They haven't lost that many.
Yeah. That's the real lesson we've learned in the last decade.
Looks like it.
Just don't hire ex-clubmen. It only goes wrong.
It's just happened too many times. It can't be a coincidence. They can't just all just not worked out.
Yeah.
There seems to be an issue there.
Yeah, it's just Leppich is Linden.
Yeah, I think
he's about to be made.
He's Linden, and we're sticking with West Coast at Linden for the flag, because they were not impressive at all.
Oh, no, this is one of the least impressive 50-point wins you can reel off.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's like, part of me thinks, yeah, well done, yeah, didn't show up and still won by 50, but I'd say that's more about Brisbane than West Coast.
And I think West Coast are, well coached.
And they
have a very clear idea what they're doing, but they're not doing it maniacally anymore. They're just going through the motions, and that's still enough to get you a few wins.
Yeah, especially with their home ground advantage.
Yeah.
But let's move on.
Quite a long discussion for a game. We said who gives a shit.
Yeah, that was far too long.
Well, that's what happens when no one's happy with Levy.
Yeah, I thought we could have that segment by itself, but you keyed it in.
No, I couldn't hold back. That's all I thought watching the game. It was just angry.
Stupid Leppich.
Yep.
But let's move on to the next game of the round. Scott's happiest moment ever watching a game?
It was right up there with my favourite Knights footy ever. The whole game just seemed set up just to annoy you.
North Melbourne were defeated by Hawthorn by 9 points. It was a fairly frustrating game to be a North supporter. I was less annoyed than you thought I would be, but... that was just because you had huge expectations.
I honestly thought there was a chance I wouldn't last through the night. I thought you smashed it. Smashed it, and that's why it's so frustrating. The other classic is Sicily. You don't like Sicily, and he was great.
I still don't think he's going to be... Like, he's talked up as though he's a shining light and a potential star. He's not.
He's very talented. We've already discussed this, but I do not understand how you can rate Mason Wood that highly and not Sicily. I think they are almost identical footballers.
No, Mason Wood is significantly better ground game. He's a better runner. He knows how to find the ball
Sicily
better.
Sicily moves all right.
Yeah, but Mason Wood moves well. And there's a difference between being average at something and being pretty good at something.
Mate, it honestly looked like there was a mirror image on two sides of the field.
No. Just wrong.
they both play a bit taller than they should, although apparently Mason's really tall, and I just don't.
Not really tall. He's just slightly too small. He's only like a couple of centimetres off being able to be an actual key forward, whereas Sicily is short. He's 186. He should be a midfielder.
Well, that's not short, but...
For an AFL, like a guy that plays as a pretty tall forward... He plays like a tall
forward. He does, yeah.
His asset is his overhead mark.
Yeah.
That's too short, and he's going to get found out.
Yeah, well, I can't picture Mason being that much taller. I know he is, but it just doesn't.
Yeah, that's because North Melbourne's other forwards are 200 centimetres, while Hawthorn's are like 193.
Could have something to do with it. Like, similar. They've both got a good leap, they both got good hands, they're both athletes, they are similar footballers. And they're both very good. I rate them both. Unfortunately, Ray Wood.
Yeah. This is my favourite part of the night, where Scott begrudgingly says something nice about North Melbourne.
It happens once every...
Yeah,
once every
there's always one rounds. Topic. But we're kind of burying the lead here. The real story from this game... actually, no. Let's talk about how exciting Michael Ferrito was how excited he was to fight people.
Mate, I honestly, I don't think you guys covered yourself in much glory on Friday night. I thought you came across pretty poorly.
In terms of the way we played the game?
In terms of a lot of things.
We cost ourselves the game with giving away cheap free kicks.
Yes, I thought you were quite ill-disciplined. And people were saying that it was great leadership by Zeeble in the first quarter.
That shouldn't have been 50. Him as he was marking the ball, and he didn't hit him high.
Yeah, he got very close to hitting him high.
This is the same. Lindsay Thomas got very close to bumping Josh Gibson high, and that was given a free kick.
Okay. Well, regardless of the umpires, I'm making an attitude statement, and I think that was a bit of a snipe, and I think there was a fair bit of that going off the ball. You were trying to fight. You weren't going hard at the ball. Early on, in the first quarter,
we smashed them in every aspect for contested possession and hard ball. Get every part of it, we were harder.
The first quarter Hawthorne was a bad game of footy. And yeah, Hawthorn were awful, but I didn't like your attitude towards the game. I didn't like how demonstrative you were towards the umpires all night. The duck late was shocking.
Yeah,
and obviously that was. Brad Scott was, that's the biggest news of the week, and that was bad. I honestly thought you came across looking.
There is something that could rival it, and I'll bring it up. It's just an off-field issue, but I'll bring that up later. But yeah, it's a
okay. Whatever. I'm very confused.
This is how we keep the listeners interested in stuff that's going to happen later. Tell them it's a big story coming.
All right, mate. Fantastic. But well, what are your thoughts on the Scott issue?
Well, given my clearly biased opinion,
yeah,
I'm backing him in.
Mate, he's stuffed up pretty bad.
Yeah, but he's not wrong.
What do you mean he's not wrong?
They do have preconceived ideas about Lindsay Thomas. He's umpired differently to every other player.
Look, you don't know. I think there probably is some sort of a subconscious thing going on there. But I would be surprised if they were directly telling them, don't give Lindsay Thomas free kicks because he's a duck.
I don't think they're telling them.
But that's effectively what Scott said.
No, he didn't. No, he said...
Without any evidence.
That's not what Scott said, but yes, he had no evidence.
that is bad. And it made you look really foolish as a club.
Yeah, it did. I'm not going to deny that, but I think he's right. And I still, if he had worded it better, I would have appreciated... I appreciate the sentiment, because for too long he's let people just... Like, he started or accentuated the whole Lindsay Thomas staging for free kicks when he said...
He didn't like it at first.
Yeah, and he was like, yeah, we've got to get him to change it. That just set it all on
fire.
That
didn't help, did it? No.
That was the wrong move, and I was quite pissed off at him when he did that. I much prefer him to screw up in this way than the other way, because at least now umpires, they can't get away with not doing it, because it just makes them look like arseholes.
Yeah.
It's changed the perception, not the perception, it's changed the discussion about Lindsay from he ducks, he doesn't deserve free kicks, to he's not getting free kicks every other player gets, and I think that's a net positive for North, except for like the fact that he had no evidence for his statement.
Yeah, well, I think he's been forced into that.
I know why, like, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, like, he has to do that now. There comes to a point where you have to defend your players.
Mm.
But, God, it was not good.
What was interesting was Tim Watson said he heard it. When
did he say that?
After the game. That's a very interesting tactic to take if it's not there. Like, why would you... I'd have just... all confused by that comment. Like, what was he trying to achieve?
Are you claiming that it was said?
No. I don't understand why Tim Watson would say he heard it.
Unless he did, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
So you are suggesting that it was said?
No.
I'm a lot more diplomatic than the North Melbourne's coach, mate.
No, I just... there's either he said it and Tim Watson heard it, or Tim Watson's trying to grab the limelight. And I'm not sure why he would, given he's got...
I don't think he'd bother.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I didn't know that Tim Watson said he'd heard it. But
yeah, which,
I mean,
it's just a weird scenario. It'll be interesting how the wash sort of wraps up. The AFL's been sort of very... God, very keen to have North's statement that they were wrong plastered all over their website, so you know they're happy about it.
It was a very stringent statement, that.
Yeah, it was very apologetic.
It wasn't just, oh yeah, Brad Scott shouldn't have said that, or yeah, we admit that wasn't said on the field. It was, we admit that there are no preconceived ideas about players. I don't think you quite had to say that.
No.
That is still up for debate.
I don't think it's for debate.
But still, like, they didn't need to say that.
No, I think their clubs looked at the finances and go, we can't afford a fine here.
Yeah.
Let's try and get out of this one. But yeah, in terms of the game...
Oh, wait, just before you go, I also want to hear your thoughts on McMillan. Because that was shot.
It's indefensible. You just...
Thank you.
It was just dumb.
Good. Good. I'm happy with that. We can move on now.
Yeah, like, what can I say to that?
Especially how much you hate Duckers. You lead the Duckers. I hate Duckers bandwagon. And your support.
It's more I hate Toby McLean, but like,
yeah.
You lost my train of thought there, Scotty.
Onto the game.
Onto the game. For Hawthorn, it's not a great sign that they can't beat that North Melbourne team convincingly at all.
They're still winded.
Yeah. Well, my theory I'm sort of developing is they're the test of whether you're the real deal or not. If you can beat Hawthorn, you deserve to be in the conversation because they seem to get it done. They've beaten the Bulldogs, they've beaten Adelaide, like they've beaten the West Coast, they've been sort of the lower tier of the eight.
Even though most of the time they get outplayed.
Yeah.
You know they lost a contested ball to Essendon last week as well when they won by 100 points.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
But they won it once this year, haven't they, against West Coast, I think.
I think it might have been twice, but I can't remember who.
You can't. Like, you cannot win the premiership if you're doing that. You can't.
And every time they've played, like, a really good side, and I'm sort of ignoring North's performance last week for, one, they're injured, and one, I don't want to say we're not any good. But any time, like, a really good side's played them, they've looked off the pace.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, absolutely.
And, like... It's not tenable. You can't... This isn't going to win them a fourth flag. Hodge is coming back, but I don't think he's going to fix them much. And Ruffy's not. And I still don't think they'd win the flag if they had both of them.
Yeah. Their issues, and speak mostly contested ball, have been so consistent that it doesn't seem like a sort of thing that you can just flick the switch and turn it around. Like, I can't see it happening. If they'd had a couple of weeks out of the box where they'd smash contested ball, you think... It's still there, and like
it's
if they can,
application, yeah. Not
if they can, yeah. If they can flick that switch, then maybe they could. But it has been such a consistent rut that I can't see him pulling themselves out of it.
No, I can't either. And like, there are guys that have looked good in their good sides that are sort of looking a bit more iffy right now, like Brad Hill.
Yeah, he's playing poorly. Yeah,
bit of a nothing player at the moment.
Hartung's better for sure.
Yeah, I think Hartung's nearly put himself on Isaac Smith's level.
Smith's played a few really important games.
Smith's ceiling is higher than Hartung's.
Yeah.
But I think...
I really rate Hartung. Yeah. He's about the only Hawthorn player I really like at the moment. And Sicily. Used to be the rough. I only like Sicily to...
annoy me.
Yeah.
So you know I'm right on that one then.
Yeah.
but yeah, for Hawthorn, it's a real... they're not going to win the flag.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to pretend I'm unhappy about that.
No. North, you've got two big weeks ahead.
We've
got
to win at least one, preferably two.
Yeah,
obviously.
If you lose both, you're pretty stuffed.
We're pretty stuffed. So we're definitely not going to have we can't finish top three if we lose both, but I think the fourth spot is quite up for grabs.
Yeah.
Otherwise. But anyway, let's move on. Your boys got up on the weekend,
yes,
against your second favourite team, beat your third favourite team, but this was a real test to see what you thought more about, what you preferred. Frio got over Port by 17 points.
I tell you, I loved it.
You loved it?
I loved it.
So it's not close. Frio, gap, Port.
Yeah. Yeah, right. It's Melbourne daylight, Frio daylight, Port. Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone else daylight, North.
Yeah, daylight, probably the Bulldogs. Just, yeah. Whatever. But get around Ross. I think he's doing it. I think he is changing. It's the first half was quite Fremantle-esque. It was a lot of stoppages. They were winning the clearances again, and then they were doing a really good job of locking it in their forward 50, which they've always been good at doing. Second half, though, it opened up, and they played some power footy. Some of their transition work was awesome. And slow and fast. There was, I think in the third quarter, there was one which they, you know, kicked out to Walters, who ran onto and bonded in, and it was a really quick ball. There were other times when they were chipping it short and still making their way up the field, which Frio don't do. They still had a lot of ball use issues.
Yeah. But
there seems to be something changing. And if they can largely play that Ross Lyon style with that occasional burst of power footy when they need to, that could be the weaponry.
Yeah, they've definitely improved. They're starting to play not more modern footy, but they're starting to play like the rest of the competition does. Their transition's improved significantly. They're playing a lot more direct.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think, they were never going to be a bottom three or four side. There's too much talent, even with the injuries.
Yeah.
They weren't good, but they were getting beaten by sides, but not by a whole lot. They hadn't been really thrashed since really the Bulldogs game in round one. And it's just, this is more of what they are than what we saw early in the season.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I think you are right. Gee, kids off the leash.
You're a big fan of some of the guys that got coming through.
Mate, Blakely is no longer I'm pretty impressed with his performances for a few weeks. He's good.
Yeah.
He's going to be a good player. Every time I've watched him, he looks comfortable. He's really clean and he's hard at it. He's a good player. He's quick enough.
Yeah.
Runs
hard.
Yeah.
Is spread okay?
Yeah. He's a pretty rounded player. He's mostly in the contest, but he's a good footballer.
Mm. Another big story was the return of Michael Barlow. Keeps going.
Yeah.
This makes Ross look like an idiot.
Oh, maybe looks like a genius, mate. He sparked him back into action.
And so everyone knows he's a midfielder. When Ross realises... Ross starts the year playing him on the half-forward flank. When he finally realises, maybe I should play him in the position where he's been really good at for 5 years, then he starts playing well. So Ross is a genius from this.
He's given him a new role now as well. He's running with players, and he's a very competitive player. So a lot of players
thrive. He ran with Robbie Gray this week, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Robbie went forward in patches. He basically went away when he was in the midfield. But... Yeah, and he used 43 touches to 18,
which is unexpected from Michael Barlow.
Yeah, and Gray is a genuine elite player.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
No questions over whether or not he's a star.
It was probably the best ball we've used, I've seen from Barlow as well. It was actually quite penetrating.
Yeah, this is a really damaging loss for Port, though.
Yeah. The eight's definitely set, I think.
Yeah. There's a little bit of hope if West Coast fall off.
They have to fall off pretty badly, I think. Like, they've fallen off a bit, but they have to fall off really badly.
Yeah, but outside of that, I can't see anyone else missing. Unless, someone like the Bulldogs, the injuries finally get to them in a massive way.
Yeah, they have to fall into an absolute heap.
Yeah, they're already, 10-5 or 9-5 or something like that.
Exactly.
And that's they're not going to be Port.
More, I can't see Port winning more.
Someone would have to do a Collingwood.
Collingwood...
They're 8-3 the last 2 years and missed the eight.
Oh, okay.
Remember, Scotty?
Yeah, all right.
Bit of recent history.
Yeah.
Appreciation would be nice.
Yeah, whatever. But, definitely, it's not a good loss for Port. Not looking good.
It nearly kills their top eight chances.
Yeah.
And given they're sort of the last, they're one of the last hopes to actually crash the party.
Yeah. They seemed to play some of that power footy again last week and... They lost it again. It was back to...
They were beaten sort of pretty comprehensively around the ground by Freo.
Yeah, it was back to that they were keeping themselves in the game just through some sexy work.
Yeah.
Like some good transition work for most of it. They came early in the third and then the Dockers really responded, which was very impressive by Freo. But for most of the day, it was just... They were getting beaten down and weren't working hard enough and then just did something pretty special to kick a goal to keep themselves in the game, which they've done for most of the year. And I was hoping that it was on an upward trend, but
yeah, nope. Port's problems, sort of their bottom tier players need to lift.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you can see that when they pull out all these unbelievable pieces of play to get seemingly really easy goals. Then struggle for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
I think that's how you can tell that they need to lift from their bottom six or so players.
Schultz played in the Sandford weekend. So he'd make it. Because their forward line's largely looking pretty dangerous right now. I think they're one link short and he could be it.
Yeah, and he can sort of take up the role Westhoff used to play.
Yeah.
Be hit up, the link between sort of half forward and full forward.
Yep.
And because Westhoff's just not doing that at all this year. He's moved significantly higher, and I think to the team's detriment.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing all right, but yeah.
Yeah, I'd prefer I don't think it's the best use of his ability.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's move on to the most interesting game of the round in terms of impact on the eight, I think.
Yeah.
This has got the biggest takeaways for how you think the season's going to shape. Massive win for Geelong. They defeated the Bulldogs by 57 points.
Yeah, they thumped them. It's the first time I've seen the Doggies look really rattled. In the first quarter, they no composure.
They were just jumped. First five goals to Geelong?
Yeah, and it isn't like their experienced players seem to lose it. Like Boyd had some shocking turnovers in the first quarter at half back.
Boyd's been a really interesting transition because he wasn't a good user out of the midfield.
Yeah.
And then he sort of developed into a very dependable half back.
That is a bit strange, isn't it?
but yeah, that's just a little aside I thought I'd mention.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Geelong are fantastic. And I got around the Doggies last week. I'm not going to completely flip on what I said.
You're not going to do a Rory.
No. they played some bloody good footy. And there were a lot of issues I had early in the year thinking lack of experience. They will look rattled at times. The other issue is they're very small. And I think this was the first time which I noticed both of them in a game. Like they looked uncomposed during patches because the pressure was so good from Geelong. And they also looked noticeably small. Yeah. They got muscled off it a lot.
How much did their poor kicking early hurt them going forward, though?
Oh, well,
they ended up with 12-14, so it wasn't a terrible night in front of the sticks.
No, look, they got smashed. The first quarter, they got absolutely annihilated. And then they had a bit of a run early in the second and missed
a lot of shots. Yeah, they only kicked one goal in the first half.
Yeah, they missed quite a few they should have kicked.
Incredible for the sexiest team in the comp.
And then the Cats got a couple out the back door, and it just, you know, sucks the life out of you a bit. And then they came hard late in the third, and it looked like they were a chance to, which, like, I was impressed with, that, like, they looked so out of the game, and they were able to semi-turn it around, but Geelong were just too good then. Geelong were really good.
These are, like, the way you're talking about the Dogs, as though what they are, which is a young team coming up, but not a contender for the premiership. I'm impressed they kind of came back in the game a little bit. They showed a little bit of fight. That's not what you're going to...
That's true.
That's not what you should expect or should be impressed by with someone you think is a contender.
Yeah, it's had... Look, I'm not... I'm worried based off this. I'm definitely worried, but it's 1 week. With Sydney looked... Geelong looked terrible for 2 weeks there. And now they're looking...
Yeah, how on earth did Geelong lose to Collingwood?
Yeah, exactly. That's crazy. So you can't keep flipping around.
That's fair. To what isn't flipping around, though, they've played the top six sides 4 times and lost all of them.
Yeah.
That's a huge worry.
Yeah, that is a worry. I can't deny that. I'm concerned.
Which means
I'm not giving up.
Which means if I didn't have my pride, I would have backflipped because I've realised I'm wrong.
There's a little bit of that.
Yep.
There's a little bit of that.
I don't want to give Rory the satisfaction.
But the other thing that I said when Geelong play their best, they're just about the best around. And they play really, really well.
Yeah, more even spread, even though Dangerfield and Selwood were immense again.
Corey Enright's first quarter as well was... When he's playing well, he just controls the game.
Oh, yeah. He's never really, like, a game breaker, but the way he can manage a game and control the pace of it is phenomenal. And that's why he's been an All-Australian 3,000 times.
And, he's an absolute star. Harry Taylor, when he's playing well, has a similar sort of presence, where it just seems like they're controlling the game.
Yeah, when Harry Taylor's playing well, it seems like the opposition's going out of their way to kick the ball to him. He makes it look so easy to intercept the ball. Most intercept players look like they've left their man at the perfect time and just come off, hit the contest really hard and gather the ball.
Yeah.
Harry Taylor looks like he's doing things in slow motion and they've decided to kick it to him.
That's quite...
very frustrating.
Yeah, that's quite a good analysis of him, actually.
But going forward, Geelong, they're right up there in terms of contenders for the premiership.
Yeah.
And... we've got different opinions for the Bulldogs. I don't think they can win it.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I think I was higher on them than you were going into the year.
Yeah, I feel like there are ups and downs, but across the course of the season, I feel like Geelong and Sydney are slowly separating themselves as the best two teams. I'd be pretty confident they're going to play in the grand final.
Yeah, I obviously biased again, but I feel like North's just been hit by injuries at the wrong part of our schedule, which I don't think...
Yeah, but that's still going to knock you out of top four.
And then you ain't say so. You're prognosticating here.
If you have injuries at the wrong time, if you lose your next two, it's going to be very hard for you to finish.
It will be, but we'll figure that out. We'll get there.
It'll be right.
We'll be right.
Sure, we're right.
We've been practicing from coming outside the top four. We're perfecting the method.
You may sneak through to another prelim, but no, you're not.
But yeah, let's move on. Let's move on to part time of the game where I get to have some fun. Sydney absolutely walloped Melbourne to the tune of 55 points and made you look like schoolboys.
Righto.
Yep, you like look like kids. You were out hunted. You were just out bodied. They were too hard, too strong. Worked so much harder than you. And in the wet, where you thought Maxi Gorn was going to destroy it and change the game, and your clearance boys had come out and ripped them to shreds. Nothing at all like that.
Well, firstly, we're not too far from being schoolboys. We are clearly the younger team, and they had some big bodies. And this is their third game in the wet, and I think they finally realised how to do it.
Well, and they broke their own record for tackles in the wet, which they set against the Gold Coast about 3 weeks earlier.
We were a mile off that.
Yeah, they nearly doubled your tackle count, and you had 70-odd tackles.
Yeah, we came a couple of times. We came late in the third and played some quite good footy for a little bit. I didn't think we were completely embarrassed. The last quarter, they chucked on a lot of junk time goals.
They did.
We comprehensively outplayed, but... I mean, realistically, although I was excited by the fact we have a lot of contested players, I mean, in those sort of conditions against an experienced, hard-bodied midfield, you should expect that to happen.
Really. Yeah, guys like Mitchell and Kennedy
was outstanding.
Just controlled the game. Don't know how Dean Towers was the guy that killed you, though.
Yeah,
he made him look like a champion.
He played well. I'd say that Nan Curvis looked pretty good, too. Just a big body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe Tibbetson was not as bad as we all thought. Maybe Nankervis can...
It's a bit different
in the wet.
Yeah, it was good conditions for a big body. And yeah. Put that to good use. The standout, clearly, for me, was McVeigh. He was the only
player that looked composed.
Yeah.
In the same way Dom Tyson against Hawthorn was the only player that looked like he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
McVeigh had that same sort of composure. Where just he was picking the ball up cleanly when everyone else's method of attack was let's keep fumbling the ball forward and try and play rugby and score a try.
Yeah, you always think in those conditions it's going to be the big bulls that do it, and they're important, obviously. But the guys
that can look like they're playing dry weather football when everyone else isn't.
Yeah, and he was the only one. He was really good.
It was really wet.
it was nuts.
It wasn't just wet, it was raining the entire game and getting worse.
There was no chance of the game becoming any good. There was no way. So the Trark did a few special things.
Yeah, he's got something special about him.
He's definitely got something special.
He will... Oh yeah, I don't really doubt he's going to... He's going to get there.
It's going to be awesome. And Watts played well for those conditions.
He had double-digit contested possessions, which is just...
He's not scared.
Mind-boggling.
He's a good player.
In terms of...
better Andy.
In terms of not playing to your perceptions, that's about as big a one as you can do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it wasn't really a hugely important game. We got exactly what we expected from Sydney and slightly disappointing from Melbourne, but nothing...
Yeah. I think
nothing that makes you think you're a failure and your season's over.
Yeah, I think Roosie's press conference was about 4 minutes. I think that kind of sums it up. It was kind of like, yeah, okay. I mean, you're a young side, you've done quite well. Move on.
We probably should have made this gold jacket green jacket because at least we had a hot takeaway from the other one.
That's true, actually. That's a good point. I mean, but this, there's a premiership contender.
Both better sides.
Yeah, just outside the eight. But yeah, in some ways, more came out of the other game.
Yeah, food for thought.
Yeah.
We might have to change our formula slightly. Or you change your formula, because as you make... Let me know every week, it's your segment.
Yeah, well, get your own segment, mate.
Oh, well, We've got another segment coming up, and I think I'm going to claim credit for it.
I named it. I thought of it as well. I don't even remember.
No, Lachlan, my brother thought of it.
That's true. I named it at least.
At least it came from my side of the family.
Yeah, okay.
But let's move on to the most surprising game of the week.
I thought this was definitely going to be
the game. I had no doubt in my mind going into it that it was going to be at least 80 points. Turns out it was only 27, and that's probably flattering to GWS.
Oh, it's definitely
flattering. They defeated Essendon, and Essendon looked like actually good the entire day.
This was genuinely a very good game of footy. There is no, I had no intention of watching it. I watched too much footy this weekend.
You were Lyndon.
Yeah, but I realised I were a little in it, and I thought, oh, I'll give it a little chance. And I was absorbed. It was a really good game. Essendon played. I'm calling this was a good win for GWS.
No, it wasn't. We'll get to that later. But Essendon started playing so much more directly.
Played corridor footy.
They weren't possessing the ball and over-possessing the balls they had. And because Mark Thompson came out and said what I'd been saying for a while, because we break news here on this podcast.
They were
playing not to lose. They were trying to mitigate damage by making sure they had the ball at all times. And it wasn't working, and it was falling apart.
You compare that to Richmond, yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think that's 100% a similar strategy.
Yep.
But they completely changed the way they played. They were moving the ball quickly. They were bringing their smalls into the game and trying to get over the back. Orazio Fantasia played a genuinely excellent game of football.
Yeah.
I think he was quite clearly the best player on the ground in the first half. He had 7 scoring shots. Yeah, he stands out because whenever he gets near the ball, you hear the commentators call his name. Oh, that boy.
What a legend.
He had 7 scoring shots in the first half and probably should have done better than his 4 goals, 4 for the match.
Yeah, they found some positives out of this season. McDonald tipping Woody, he will be best 22 player next year.
Without question. Absolutely.
He's a good... He won every 50-50 ball and he was quick and he used it well.
There was this moment where there was a ball kicked over the back. He was about 5 metres behind Toby Green, who's not electric. He's not quick. We know this.
Yeah.
But the way he tackled him down, perfectly tackled him so to not give away a free kick. And all Toby Green had to do was sort of tap it onto his foot, and he was that close to goal. And he just saved the team a goal through just some really good tackling techniques, some defensive pressure. And that's the kind of thing Essendon need to get out of this season, because he uses the ball well.
He's really good. There was
this play where he streamed down the corridor, hit a leading Leuenberger.
That was awesome.
It was just very sexy football.
Yeah.
Of a knock on GWS that Leuenberger could get 5 metres of space on the lead, because he's not exactly the quickest bloke going around, but it's still that's a good-looking play.
That's football. True. Orazio wouldn't have got this sort of an opportunity if...
No, if it weren't for everything happening. He's not a bit part player in this team. He's fairly good. Important to them.
Yeah, and I expect he'll be best 22 next year as well. And then, like, Kelly could get another year in his contract, and that's a good story.
Out of it. I think Kelly really should keep going.
Yeah.
He's been way too good this year to retire.
Yep, and I think he wants to. He's one of those guys.
He didn't want to leave Geelong last year.
Yeah.
And looking at the way he's playing, quite rightly, although... How would he go in this Geelong team?
Yeah, I don't think Geelong would be a better side if they had Stevie there. I don't know if Kelly would make that much difference. But
if Kelly replaced like Tom Ruggles.
Yeah,
The only worry is sort of pace in their back line.
Kelly, he's not a great kick.
Tom Ruggles isn't excellent.
That's true.
He's not bad, but
I don't think they'd be a clearly better team with Kelly in it. I think Steve would be.
I also think there's, with the sentiment involved with having Kelly around, I think they'd probably regret letting him go.
Yeah, I don't think that's keeping him up at night.
No. Anyway, let's get back onto the crux of the issue. You think this is a good win for GWS?
Yeah. The thing which impressed me about it was, on those days where you don't quite turn up, and especially a young team, it's really hard to turn it around. And they had to turn it around against a team who were playing... they were playing so hard, Essendon. There were times, like, defensively, you felt Essendon could not have done any more. Like, they did absolutely everything humanly possible. And GWS still found a way to finish it off. And, like, that's talent.
Yeah.
But they did slowly turn it. They kept chipping at it and chipping at it. Eventually, the momentum turned their way. And that's how they had to do it. Essendon were playing well enough that they couldn't just flick a switch and smash it.
Yeah, I just don't agree. It showed how much they need Mumford, because they brought no physicality to the contest. for the entire match, really.
Yeah.
The
Russian was actually pretty good.
Yeah, which it says a lot.
Yeah.
that man is well
and truly past it. Man, love can take him up, but...
Yeah, he's not he's a great Russian.
He's not a Russian. No.
He's a bit too skinny. But this is beating an Essendon side. They rested Stevie J and Mumford, so not huge losses. They didn't do anything particularly out of the blue to do it, and they had to fight for the win. That's not a good sign. It just shows how reliant they are on Mumford, and I think it shows their youth, and that's not a good thing, because you want them playing above their age, and when you see these kind of performances, it makes me worried.
They didn't play well, and yes, it shows their youth, but their youth exists. Like, that is a problem, and I think they played above what their experience shows and their ability to turn the game around mid-game. When you turn up to a game expecting for it to happen and not quite being at your best, and a team which you expected to smash come out breathing fire, and Essendon were impressive. Like, they played as hard as you could possibly hope, and they still managed to turn it around. And I think sometimes teams don't have great days, and their ability to turn it around when the heat was on, for kids, I think that's pretty impressive.
I'm just not impressed by anyone beating Essendon. It's a fait accompli.
Sometimes they play okay, Essendon. I still reckon they'll snag her. I think they've got Gold Coast here in Brisbane here. I reckon they'll win them both.
That'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to those games.
I kind of hope they do.
No, I was
getting a random.
I hope Brisbane win. They need a win.
Get Leper out of there, mate. Just keep losing. Get him out of there and you'll be right.
But anyway, that's it for the... That's it for the week's round of games of footy. Muff that. But we're introducing a new segment. Scott's aptly named it Piss Off a Pleb. And it's pretty much...
It's a great name.
We're going to throw a hot take at each other and see how much it pisses each other off.
Yep.
I have a feeling I'll get more angry than Scott will, but, you know, that was probably preordained.
Sounds about right. Who's starting?
We'll let you have the new ball.
Bit of a footy classifier reference.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, these aren't all going to be Melbourne, North Melbourne related. But
no.
I had to go with this North one because I could still go with it, for sure. I know he was injured this week, but after a purple patch, Jared Wade is back to being the C-grade key forward that we knew him to be for most of his career.
That's just not true.
he kicked one goal in 3 weeks.
No, he didn't. He kicked no goals in 3 weeks.
No, I think he kicked one against Richmond. But you probably should have.
No, I'm reasonably
sure. All right, fine. Kick none in 3 weeks.
No, he'd been in for scans every week for the past month. He's just playing hurt, and our ball use had dropped off. I think it spoke more to North's delivery than his ability. Like, he wasn't taking the ridiculous marks he was early, but that was the level he was playing at to start the year was unsustainable because it was just incredible. Like, he was one of the best players in the competition for the first, 2 months. But, yeah, he definitely has dropped off. He's not a C-grader, though. Mate, that's just a lie.
But what's the outlier here? He was a C-grader his entire time at Carlton. And then he played...
not a C-grader.
I reckon he was, based on his consistent output.
Oh, well, he's been more consistent at North.
Yeah, but that's the outlier. He had a month of great footy, and then he's just back to being what Jared White is.
He was above a C-grader last year.
Yeah, okay, yes. So he was a C-grader for his entire career. He played one year as a B-grader.
I've been informed by Carlton supporters that he was good in 2008. I don't remember it, but I've been informed.
Yes, but a couple of months here and there, isolated. Most of his career has been a C-grader.
Most of the reasons he hasn't informed are because he's an idiot who gets suspended. Or he's been hurt.
Yeah, but that's
there's
still
never
a factor.
Been much. Yeah, so he's a C grader now because he's hurt. He's played injured the last 3 weeks, and so now he's a C grader.
No, that's not why.
The suspensions are stupid, and he hasn't been suspended at North, so I think he's past that.
Yeah,
and I think if he's healthy, he's definitely not a C grader.
What do you think he is?
B grader when he's playing badly. B plus when he's playing well.
He's a B grader probably. I'm trying to troll a little bit.
I know, that's the point of the segment, Scott. Yeah,
but
it didn't work this week.
He's no better than a B-grader.
You've got to target something I'm irrational about.
I think I've got one really good one in mind. I think you'll enjoy it.
I'll enjoy it.
My turn, mate.
Ross Lyon is a terrible coach. Wait. He's screwing up his tanking job.
Yeah, they said they've been doing that thing on the footy show, and they decided they were going to give him the Coach of the Year award because of how well he was doing at not winning games.
Yeah.
And then he won one, and they're like, we're taking it off him. And then
he screwed it up. He could have had a free run at a number one pick. All he had to do was keep playing people out of position. He moved Michael Barlow back into the midfield. What an idiot. Now he's playing well.
Tanking, mate. It doesn't work.
I've definitely won this
week. It doesn't work, mate.
He's put Michael Walters into the midfield where he's actually allowed to touch the ball because they weren't getting it into the forward line. He's not resting Pavanov. He's been playing. That's stupid. Tavern has finally found some form, so he should be dropped, but he's not. Why is he playing Blakely in the middle? That's just idiotic. Lockie Weller was always going to be a Jet, so he should have hit him in the waffle. What's he thinking?
He's developing kids.
Yeah, wrong.
And he's changing his game.
Do that on your own time.
He's doing a damn good job of it.
Now he's going to be stuck with the seventh
pick. He's a pragmatic man, Ross. He knows what's going on.
Now he's going to be stuck with the seventh
pick. If he had to tank, he would do it. He'd be prepared to do it. But he realises it's a bloody dumb thing to do.
This is true. But he had the perfect opportunity. He had real reinforcements that weren't going to affect the code. Tanking sucks when you do it over an extended period of time.
Aren't you suggesting he should have lost every game this year?
Yeah, and then he gets Fife back. He gets ancient...
So a year's not extended?
No, I'm doing like a 2 or 3 year period. That's an extended period. That's what Melbourne did, that's what Carlton did, and that's why...
He's developing Blakely and Weller and all that. If you start telling those kids winning is not the number one priority...
I'm not saying tell
you've it. You've killed the kids.
Ross Lyon is a very good coach on his day. He can manipulate things. He can manipulate things to get a better result for that suits the team more than a win.
I just know you don't believe this. It's just... You still won. You won, but I know you don't believe it.
Might have been a slightly underprepared segment.
Yeah, I've got a good one coming up next week.
So Scott, on to Fuji's mailbag. The first question from Anonymous. So we thought of it ourselves because we forgot to ask people. Have Geelong firmly established themselves as premiership favourites? What's your take on it?
You know my take on it. Since I think they're getting close.
I do know your take on it, Scott, but the point of this is to let the listeners know.
I was going to go on to that, mate.
I know, I just like to pull you up.
I think they're closing the gap, and I think their best is very close to Sydney. But Sydney are the best team. They are. And, mate, I've been the Sydney Oracle this year. I picked them at the start of the year.
You have.
I tipped their first loss, I remember, as well.
Against Richmond? No, GWS. No, who'd they lose to first?
They lost to some. There was one which I... Adelaide.
That's it.
Adelaide, I tipped that. I've been the Sydney Oracle and they will win the Premier. They'll beat Geelong in the grand final, I'm feeling that.
Well, there's obviously a lack of respect in this question to North Melbourne. They're playing hurt. I don't think they're out of it.
You're off the pace, mate.
But in all seriousness, I think they're past Sydney. I think
they are. Really?
Yeah. Their record against the top eight...
They lost to Carlton.
Yeah, and they've lost to one other top eight side... beaten every other, and the team they lost to, they also beat. So,
what happened to their slow back line? I thought that was their big issue.
It just hasn't killed them at all. It's still slow, but they set up so well, it just doesn't matter.
I told you, if you've got smart enough users off up back, you can patch that up.
Yeah, I think, the only worry is I don't think they've got any run off half back
there. And depth. If either Selwood or Dangerfield goes down, their team gets significantly worse.
Yeah, the rest of their midfield isn't consistent enough to be relied on.
Yeah, now that's why.
Yeah, as long as both those guys are in the team, I think you have to back them. To be honest,
so if they play the grand final this week, Sydney versus Geelong, you'd tip Geelong.
Yeah, but I think that it's this close. Sydney and Sydney, I tip Sydney. Geelong. In Victoria, I tip Geelong.
Yeah, I tip Geelong. It's skilled. I think I'd still tip Sydney if it was at Etihad or whatever.
No,
and if it was at the Geelong Grand Final day, I'd tip Sydney.
Fair enough. That's it for the mailbag. We answered that pretty well, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good work. let's get to the tips for the week.
Tips. It's pretty boring this week.
I don't think we probably won't disagree all that much. But yeah, the first tip is an interesting game, and it's pretty much one of the few interesting games. Adelaide North, Thursday night. What do you think?
You know what I think. Adelaide. Oh,
of course you do.
Adelaide, I'm pretty confident Adelaide will win this.
Yeah, it's a schedule loss for North. I would be shocked if they win, to be honest, coming off...
Coming from you, Mr. Blind.
Exactly. This is how against us the circumstances are, I'll say. So, back-to-back six-day breaks against a team coming off a bye away. Conspiracy Rory thinks we've pissed off the umpires, so we're going to get...
That won't happen.
So we're going to get pummeled in the umpiring department.
Umpires.
And I still worry about the injuries, but that's much of muchness. I just think Adelaide are going to win. Just it's in Adelaide, and they're coming off a bye. The only hope for North is that Adelaide... have do what a lot of teams coming off bays do and just look a bit rusty.
That's a possibility. But I thought you were going to go with your just tipping your team every week thing. I thought you was going to be one of those guys. But No, but he's just actually that blind. Like, he actually thinks North are going to win every week. That's why he's been tipping him every week.
Yeah, and I should have been right last week. You've got no idea whether or not I should have been right.
You did the ladder predictor a few weeks in and said you'd only lose two games for the year. You've already lost three.
Yeah, we're doing fine.
So blind.
On to the next game. An interesting one in terms of the outcome. Not an interesting one in terms of repercussions, but Collingwood Freo. What's your tip?
Ah, Collingwood win here.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Collingwood aren't good.
Yeah.
Like, they're really not good.
Here, and they just have to win it. They just have to. Like, there is just that much pressure on them. Coming off a bye, they'll win it.
Yeah, I'm very conflicted. I think it's about a 50-50 game. So, you know,
be bold, mate.
To be bold, I'm going to force the issue. I'm going Freo.
Oh, no, I want to support Freo. I hate it when this happens.
This is the best part of this. I can just... I can make him feel so conflicted.
I'm fairly confident on this, actually.
Are you? This is interesting.
Even though I was very impressed with Freo last week.
You were very confident on Adelaide West Coast too, so...
That's true. It's not a good sign. Confidence.
Not a good sign for Scotty. Next here, we've got Richmond-Brisbane. What's your thoughts?
Brisbane. Shocking. I hope Richmond...
I thought you were going to say, oh, Brisbane. Easy.
No. I hope Richmond smash him and Lepage gets sacked. I've been brutal.
You just do not like the man.
Nah, he's
terrible. You want someone to lose their job.
He's
don't
Michael
you feel
Voss
like a
2.0.
Dick? It should be Richmond. Richmond did make it a struggle against the Gold Coast.
That's
though.
True.
So you never know, but it should be Brisbane.
Richmond.
That's what I said. No, that's what I meant.
Yes. Right.
Next game. We thought GWS would have a role in the park last week. They've got Carlton this week. At Spotless, though, it should be a walk.
Yeah, well, hopefully it was enough of a wake-up this week that they realise they have to turn up.
Yeah, that's a key component of winning football games, turning up.
Yeah, so, yeah.
They should get Mumford and Stevie J back, but... Yeah, I can't see them losing. I think it'll be
easy.
An easy win. Then we've got another pretty easy game, I think. Geelong, St Kilda. Got to go Geelong. St Kilda could give a yelp. It's at their home deck, which they're a lot stronger at home than away.
Yeah. I still see St Kilda as a danger side, but you can't not tip Geelong.
Yeah, and Geelong have just beaten North and the Dogs at Etihad. If they lose this one, I'll be ripping my hair out, having no idea what to do with
them. Yeah, well, they also lost to Carlton, so...
Yeah, that's true. And then finally we've got another walk in the park. Hawthorn, Gold Coast. But to make matters worse, it's at Aurora. It's in Tassie.
Yeah.
This isn't looking good.
Yeah. Hawthorn, mate.
Yeah, quite comfortably, I think. But yeah, that just about wraps up the pod. That's the tips for the week. Everyone else has got a bye. I think we prepared like we were on a bye week, so thanks for listening if you made it this far.
Can I do your usual spin, mate?
Absolutely. As always, you can find us on Facebook at the Plebs on Footy Podcast Facebook page. Just give us a search. I'm on Twitter at PlebRoryAFL, and Scotty's not because he's a shithead. Thanks for listening.
Language is getting worse.
Yeah, we're marked explicit. I don't really care.